Hey there, this is Jonah with Gray Area. Welcome to our series Spotlight, where our mission is to build a bigger and more united house music community by sharing new and exciting artists, festivals, and event brands with you. In this interview, you'll hear from The Sponges, a rising duo out of Florida that's bringing the funk to house music. Be sure to like this video and subscribe for more interviews like this. I'm here today with Gray Area. We're joined by The Sponges, Ryan and Nick. Guys, if you could tell us just right off the bat where you're from and what it's like in terms of the house music scene.
We're from Palm Beach County, Florida, hour and a half north of Miami, where it's really not like a music scene at all. The closest music scene is Miami. The house music that we really latched onto is the house music coming from like Club Space. And that's like our favorite club in the world. Even now, and Orlando's got a bit of a scene, but yeah, that's where we're from.
Awesome. How old were you when you started DJing?
DJing? Well, we started as producers, so DJing came a lot later. I think we got our first deck like when we were like early 20s.
Yeah, hey, when we were 21, we got into electronic music and bought like a controller, I think. So
yeah, it was like the DDJs.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, we got that really just for fun. Cause we were like kind of into electro at that time, like show tech. And we were like, we could do this. Cause we had already been producing music and making music for years, like in high school and stuff.
And then, like 2 weeks before our first sponsor show, I was like, all right, it's time for you.
I was like, Ryan, just teach me, like, give me a one-day lesson. And, yeah, that's how that happens.
Show Tech, man, that's a name that really takes me back. I remember when I first heard them.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wait, I thought these guys made hard style. Like, now they're making this, like, epic big room house, like, hearing it at Ultra. So I guess just a quick interjection then, you know, when did you guys first meet and kind of how'd you connect? Have you been friends for a long time and what prompted you to start producing music?
Yeah, we've been friends for a long time. We met in high school, like actually on the premise of music, like we were both making rap beats and making rap music in high school. And like, I had my little clique of people, Ryan had his clique, but we were both kind of like the leaders of our clique. So we were like,
well, we were the ones producing the beats and recording everybody.
Yeah. And so we were like, we should make music together sometime. And that's kind of how that happens. So we were really just doing like rap beats for a long, long time, like wanting to go that route, and then discovered like electronic music after that, like, oh shit, this is cool. Like, we don't need to mess with any vocalists or something, like we could just do this ourselves.
Also had our first experiences like with electronic music, like going to like raves and whatnot.
Yeah,
was like what turned me on for sure. I was just like, this is where it's at.
I remember him coming home from like Liquid Stranger or something and just being like, dude, this shit is crazy, like this music is insane, like next level. And then, I mean, the clubs where we're from, like, definitely were playing a lot of, like, show tech and electro and
Carnage,
like, trap was really big back then. And so that's when our trajectory kind of switched. And then we saw Skrillex at Bonnaroo 2014, and that was like, yep, we're doing this. So
that's awesome.
I don't even know if that answers your question at all. Sorry.
No, I think it does. I mean, everyone kind of has their own like unique path to discovery on this. I know it was kind of similar for me. Like, I used to almost only listen to rap music, and then I had an older brother and he was kind of getting into this stuff, and I was like big into, you know, Hardwell, Tiesto, the Alessos of the world when I was in high school. And it's like, I feel like everyone kind of starts at that point, and especially if you're from the US and you grew up in that time period where that music was just like what was popular. It was like the EDM boom. And then people go in their separate directions. The Liquid Stranger one's just funny to me. I mean, he's another one of these guys that's just like really taking a unique sound, and like he can go pretty fucking hard, but it's really cool. you alluded to it a little with, you know, producing hip hop beats, but I'm just curious for each of you guys, you know, when you were a kid growing up, do you remember what kind of music you were listening to?
Oh yeah. Yeah, actually it's somewhat similar. Our paths kind of crossed. I mean, my first big band was Linkin Park for sure. Like I was big into like the nu metal sound, like Linkin Park, System of a Down. But I also like to listen to Lil Wayne, Lil Boosie, Lil John and the East Side Boys. So it was somewhat eclectic even then. But you know, a lot of what was playing on like the rock stations is what I liked up until I got in, like really got into rap in high school. And then from there, it was like straight up Drizzy all day.
Drizzy Drake. Yeah, I used to love rap and R&B. Like my first two CDs were Outkast and Usher when I was like in fifth grade.
Swag.
And then, yeah, Lil Wayne and Drake for most of my high school.
Yep.
Kanye, Kid Cudi.
Oh, yeah. Kid Cudi was huge for sure. Kanye as well. Kanye is definitely still like huge influence.
Absolutely. Do you guys have a memory from the first like real gig that you played together?
Yeah. That's,
yeah. That's funny you say that. Yeah. The first real gig we played together was like this rap show that we did. Like I was in a rap group and we needed someone to record we had like 8 songs we had to record before the show. And the only person we knew with a microphone is Ryan. And so we banged it out, recorded it all, and
their rap group had been promoting this show for months.
Yeah.
It was a big show. It was Sunfest. It was like our town's like biggest festival, and they were playing it. And we were in high school, and no one knew how they got this show. And then they hit me up like a week and a half, 2 weeks before the show, talking about, can you help us? We don't have any songs recorded.
Like, dude, we have to. Because we're like, yeah, super, you know, we're in high school. So, but then anyways, Ryan ended up playing, like,
I was their DJ.
He was our DJ. Like, he pressed play on the laptop for us.
That's literally all I did was, like, smoke a Black and Mild and hit next song.
So, yeah, that was it. That was our biggest show for a long time. Like,
yeah, it wasn't until 2019. So, that was in
2012.
And then we didn't play a bigger show until 2019 at Christmas.
Yeah, with the Sponges. It's crazy.
Wow. Sometimes it takes a long time. That's really great. The Black and Mild, man. That whenever you smell it, you know. Like you're never gonna be like, I'm not sure if that's a Black and Mild. Like you know it's a Black and Mild. You know, as you mentioned, like you guys have kind of found your lane, obviously, and you know, your taste in music has changed a little. Nowadays, you know, that your electronic producers, when you're kind of in your off time or, you know, not focused on making music or you're just out for a walk, whatever, do you find like there's any artists or genres that you're listening to regularly that kind of fall outside the realm of electronic?
Yeah,
definitely. I mean,
I would say for me, primarily, I listen to genres outside of electronic, honestly, at this point.
Yeah. Like I know Ryan's like big favorite bands for a while has been the Grateful Dead. I mean, we listen to a ton of like disco and like and funk music in general. I mean, lately for me, not in electronic music. I mean, most of what I listen to recently is electronic, but it's super nothing like the Sponges. Like Porter Robinson's new album's been on repeat for me. I love Pogo. Just a ton of shit like that. Like Tipper's one of our biggest influences. But yeah, I mean, the oldies is what we sample, like, you know, so we're constantly like listening to records from back in the day. And like, yeah, you know, James Brown is like such a,
I like to listen to like Stevie Wonder, you know, Earth, Wind & Fire, like Heat Waves,
yeah,
like old bands and stuff.
Yeah, anything that we can get inspiration from. Those are the great inspirations, the great like disco / punk artists from the 70s and 80s.
Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, perfect. Kind of piggybacking on that, you know, as we talked about in the start, like you guys obviously have this very unique sound. And I'm just curious, when you get into the studio, you know, and I like to ask this question to anyone I interview, but like, do you have a process for how you're kind of getting started? Is it, oh, I just heard this James Brown song, we need to sample something, let's get in there? Or are you just sitting down, you get the bass line, and then you're taking it from there?
Sometimes it is like the first one. Sometimes it is like the second one. Like sometimes we'll hear something and be like, ooh, we should try to sample that. Or like, I mean, it's different for Ryan and I both, like, cause we're individual producers that come together, but it's different every time. Like all of our songs that are released probably have a different story as far as like how they began. Sometimes it is like, yeah, oh, like let's chop up this sample. Or maybe sometimes it's like, let's try to do like a funky bass line like this and then chop samples on top of it.
Yeah, like with Funked Up, I remember we were just trying to make a like an edit of a Rick James song, like just for fun. And yeah, it underwent like another 3 months of production and became like this bass house, like crazy track.
Yeah, it's our process is like super not regimented at all. Like it's very sloppy in a way. That's why it takes us a while to finish these songs. Like we had those vocals for Funked Up, for example, for like maybe a year before that, and it was just on a different track, and we brought them in maybe halfway through that production process, I want to say, or maybe less. Like, but nonetheless, it's like, yeah, it's a pretty all over the place process. Like there's no set in stone way. Every time we think we have a, oh, let's do this every time, it's never like that.
Nice. You know, like you guys mentioned, and before we get into kind of your music and career, I just have one last question for you. You mentioned Space, a favorite club. I know it's, you know, one of the most famous and popular places in the US, just like legendary sets there. If you guys had the opportunity to just have whoever you wanted playing on the billing at Space with you, who would be on the show with you, and would you be playing back to back with anyone?
Duck Sauce.
Oof, Duck Sauce would be insane.
That'd be great.
Yeah, Duck Sauce for sure.
As far as playing with us, I would say Duck Sauce. As far as who I would want to see, like from being in the crowd, it might be different. I mean, I would want to see Duck Sauce for sure.
There's too many to mention because it's like the great thing about Space is the system is so pristine and sounds so good that like I would say literally I would want to see Tipper there. I'd want to see E-Prom, G-Gens, like people like bass acts that really get it popping.
It's pretty exclusively house for the most part there. Yeah. And like techno and stuff, but some psytrance would be pretty cool.
Yeah, psytrance would be so sick.
Anything really.
Got like Vinny Vici on there.
Yeah. Infected Mushroom. I don't know. Yeah, Duck Sauce is a great call, though. I'd agree with that. Yeah.
It is interesting. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's, you know, it's a house haven, but you got to imagine, like, some of these guys, like you mentioned, who just have such incredible sound design and, like, kind of having them on a speaker system. I mean, it's funny when you see someone like, you know, Excision playing, like, he's bringing in his own speaker system because he's like, whatever you have is not enough.
yeah.
So, damn, you know, going back...
crazy.
Yeah,
that would be obviously.
We learned that though, because it really, like, when you walk in Space, it's just like it's nothing else. But we saw Disclosure there back in 2019, and they played the Flume remix at the very end, and it was fucking insane. Like, and they never, you know, like it's never below 115 BPM. It's always just like house music. So that's why I mentioned, like, yeah, seeing a bass act there would be so tight.
We've been to many shows at Club Space, and that's the only time that I ever heard a song below like 120 or like you said, like 115.
Yeah,
that's the only time.
Yeah, we've been there a gajillion times.
Of course, the place exploded because it was, you know, it's a crazy legendary track.
Yeah.
God, I can't even imagine. I feel like that's one of those that they almost like never play too, because it's just like it's so big and has like its own life.
Right. It was a proper DJ set. They played whatever the fuck they wanted that night.
Yeah, they played a lot of Non-Disclosure music, which every time I was
getting pissed.
We love so much of their music that anytime they played something that wasn't their song, we were like, damn it.
Yeah, literally. Like, I was like, why are they not just playing Settle front to back? This is horrible. Yeah.
That's funny. No, they are kind of one of those artists where, like, especially because they so often do their live set, it's like you're just expecting to hear their music. And they've had honestly, their output is so impressive. I mean, it's just like album after album of awesome stuff. I'm sure you guys have seen like the, I forget the brand, the set they did like over that lake in Croatia for like Circle or however you pronounce that company, which I'm probably botching, but they just always throw down. You know, kind of going back into when you guys really started putting music out, the first like official track I could find, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but was Somebody Somebody. And it was interesting listening to it. I felt like it had a distinctly kind of different feel than a lot of what you're putting out now. You know, if I didn't know better, I thought you guys might've just been like a funky jam band. You know, it's like super catchy, upbeat, disco feel. Doesn't have some of that four on the floor that your stuff now does. You know, when you were making that, just what was the process like and kind of how did that track come into creation?
That's a funny question. Yeah, that song was basically, it started with me trying to make a combination of like a Fatboy Slim song and Face to Face by Daft Punk. And I had like a small little demo of it, brought it to Ryan. Excuse me. And then that was like the first like Sponges effort, really. Cause obviously Ryan and I had been making music together for a long time, but that one was the first like Sponges song. And then I know we were listening to a lot of Tame Impala at the time. So the breakdown is like super trippy. And, I guess that's kind of how it came about. It happened somewhat quick. I mean, it didn't take us that long.
Well, throughout our friendship, we've made music together on and off. Like, we've done our own individual things. And at that time, we were both working on our individual musical projects. And Nick, yeah, came to me. He was like, do you want to... This is also how we got our name, is he just came in my room, like, as a joke and was like, I'm starting a new band called The Sponges. Do you want to be my lead singer? And I was like, yeah, I'm down. And then he had me work on this disco beat with him. And, so we did this one and another one, which isn't out anywhere. It was on our SoundCloud, and we did Make It Juicy. So we had like two like disco type tracks and Make It Juicy. And Make It Juicy, we like sent around on SoundCloud, and that one got signed to Box of Cats. And so we were like, okay, let's keep doing that.
Yeah.
And that's why we're here.
Nice. So glad you introed it. You know, Make It Juicy is the next one. And it was funny because like listening to it through the first like, I don't know, 45 seconds, I'm like, all right, like kind of the same vibe as Somebody Somebody, like we got that disco funk. And then you obviously just like totally switch it up, you know, filthy bass house drop. And as I kind of mentioned earlier, like when I've been looking through your stuff, and it's like, yeah, you guys release a lot with Box of Cats, and like especially this song, it's like it's the only label that even like made sense to me, because I was just like, you know, those guys have such a unique sound and they clearly heard some of themselves in you. Kind of, you know, similar question, when you're making that, you know, what, like, was there an influence? Were you listening to like a Kyle Watson or Wongo, or you just went in there and made it? And did you know, like, we're sending it to them, or were you kind of putting this out everywhere and maybe struggled a little to get it signed before Box of Cats picked it up?
We had never put any music out before, period, in any lane. And, I was a fan of Kyle Watson for like a couple of years before that. But what happened was Nick and I started going to music festivals a lot in our early 20s. And in the festivals we would go to, it was a lot of like, there was like electronic and then there was jam bands. And we loved both of them. So I think in like 2016, after our last Bonnaroo, I had this idea to like mix funk music, like Grizz and the Floozies and type of stuff with house music, because those were two things that I loved. So I worked on that pretty exclusively for like a year and a half, just trying to like figure out how I could do that. And I made like a whole bunch of different demos, like trying to make that happen. And so when Nick came to me, he was like, I'm trying to make this like sample based four on the floor stuff. And it was like, that sounds like it could go really well with what I've been working on. And so no, we didn't make it for any label or anything. It was just kind of like an evolution of what I had been doing in the past like year and a half. And we sent it to everybody.
We spammed SoundCloud. We sent it to every human on earth. The one that responded pretty promptly.
It was Mark Spence.
Yeah. And he was like, "Hey mates, like, you mind if I send this to the boys at Box of Cats?" We're like, "Yeah, sure, absolutely." And that's really how that came about. And then Wongo hit us up, and it's really a history from there.
Yeah, Wongo was like he's been our mentor through since then, really.
Yeah, big shout out to Wongo.
Awesome. Yeah, he's really like such an original creator. You mentioned Bonnaroo a couple times now, and I'm just curious, like, obviously really iconic festival. I'm assuming you've attended a couple times. Kind of a two-part question here. You know, are there, you say you attend a lot of these things, like, are there other festivals kind of in the country that you feel like have just influenced, you know, you guys wanting to be musicians? And then a follow-up, you know, you mentioned the jam bands, like, for people who don't know the Floozies, I feel like they're kind of on that line of like the crossover between electronic music and jam band. Are there other jam bands that like you really listen to a lot, or, you know, you follow or have just seen a bunch of times? You mentioned the Grateful Dead, but I'm just curious.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like Papadocio, STS9, there's a ton. Spafford, yeah, there's a ton. Like we obsess over the jam band circuit.
Lettuce
is a huge one.
Motet,
yeah. Like any funky kind of jam band. Even I've been listening to a lot of Lotus lately. I've been listening to this band called Chon that, like, we love the jam band sounds, and yeah, so we talk about that all day.
And as far as festivals, Huluween is definitely our favorite.
Yeah, Huluween's a festival in Florida that hosted at Suwannee. What's it called? Music of the Suwannee Park.
Spirit of the Suwannee.
Spirit of the Suwannee Park, which is just a legendary. It's called Suwannee, legendary venue, and the best kind of camping experience you could possibly have. Like, it's real camping that happens to also have incredible acts play at it every Halloween weekend. So yeah, that'd be the big one. We've also been to Electric Forest and other festivals here and there, but
yeah, awesome. You know, obviously before researching you guys and kind of digging in for this interview, I know for me the Space Funk 75 was like the first track of yours that I heard, and you know, I think once you put out Make It Juicy, it's like you guys kind of got this official sign off from like other artists who are respected in the industry. You know, your next few originals, Space Funk 75, I Can Dance, Funked Up, Ratchet Express, they all come on Box of Cats, and, you know, kind of felt like you found a little bit of a home with a label. Can you just talk about, you know, you said you played your first like real gig together in 2012. So it's been a long road, you know, from then until now. Can you tell us just what it means from a career perspective to feel like you have a label that you can comfortably send music to, and you have artists that, you know, are giving you feedback and want to collaborate with you guys?
Yeah, it feels great. I love it.
Come true.
Yeah, I love it. It feels awesome with Box of Cats because Wongo is just such a open-minded person in the industry and just such a big brother to us. Like, more than the fact that they've released our stuff, like, we're just so grateful. And to have made a song with Kyle Watson, it really feels great. It feels amazing. Like, we wouldn't have had an avenue to share our music without them at all. So yeah, it's a blessing for real.
Yeah. There's not, I'm not super knowledgeable on all the labels that are in this industry. Like, there's the big ones like Dirty Bird and stuff, but a lot of the big labels I feel like have such a sound, like a specific sound that I feel like producers kind of like
cater their music to.
Yeah, like I'm gonna make a Dirty Bird record and send it to Dirty Bird, and then it'll most likely get signed or whatever. And like, there's nothing wrong with that, but our shit just,
we needed a label really, that would cater itself to our sound.
Our shit just doesn't really, like, I don't see it with anybody. So, like, I don't even know how Box of Cats, like, how they, like, the fact that they wanted to sign it originally is what makes us feel comfortable going back to them, because we know, like, you know, what we've done it before, and we love Wonga. It's all love there. We did one with Night Bass with AC Slater, and that was cool. But that one, honestly, we didn't make it specifically for Night Bass, but we did. I was like trying to make it really aggressive, and so it made more sense in that way. It's like a bit darker than our other records. So, but yeah, I don't know too many. I know like Dirty Bird, Night Bass, Repopulate Mars.
Holy moly.
Yeah. And like the, yeah, I don't,
we're happy to have the home.
Yeah. I think we're probably just going to start putting it out ourselves at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it could almost be like refreshing for you guys, because that world with all the labels and stuff, like, it's almost overwhelming, right? Like, you just named a handful of them, and obviously, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. And it can, I think when you make music, it's like, where do I even go with this? Because I can start sending it out, and then I'm waiting, and I haven't heard back, and this person says this person says that. You mentioned the Night Bass track. You know, I thought, like, it was kind of, as you mentioned, like, Night Bass definitely has a sound, right? But when I listened to Feeling All Right, it was like, I'm like, yeah, this makes sense on the label, but it didn't feel like, you know, you guys compromised, you know, kind of what you're about in order to get on Night Bass. As you said, you were trying to make something a little like dirtier, a little harder. Did you know you were going to go out to Night Bass with that? And, you know, how is the relationship with AC Slater established?
We actually sent it to Wongo, just because, like I said, he's just kind of like our big brother. And he was like, oh, let me send this to AC Slater. And we were like, oh, fuck yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Because Wongo is cool with like everybody. So I'm waiting for him to send one of our records to Chris Lake.
I'm waiting.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. I'm waiting for him to send one to Sonny Moore, AKA Skrillex Wongo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
we'll keep our eyes out for that one, huh?
Yeah.
What is Ausla still releasing music? I haven't checked up on
it. It's like he himself has been releasing primarily with like Atlantic and Big Beat. I mean, I think Ausla definitely still exists. I'm not sure like how much they're putting out their own product. That being said, like, you know, if Sonny likes one of your tracks, like, he's obviously going to, you know, do anything he can to get it out to the world and support it. I mean, he's so impressive with how he's highlighted artists. I remember seeing him in maybe 2014 or something at Ultra, and he played Street by Nightmare, and like, no one knew who Nightmare was. Like, he wasn't, you know, famous or anything. And it's like, he's just like playing this totally unknown DJ song on the main stage of Ultra, and you know, now we know Nightmare is a headliner. Like, I just kind of, you know, on that track, I felt like it was such a masterclass in sampling, and it's something you guys mentioned earlier, where you obviously listen to a lot of older music and get inspiration that way. You know, on this one in particular, do you remember like what you heard or what happened that kind of triggered making this song? And when you're trying to find samples, like, I know, again, as you mentioned, you're listening to a lot of older music, but what's the process behind that? And did you feel like this one was any different?
Which one? Feeling All Right?
Feeling All Right.
Yeah, I don't remember how I came across that one. But yeah, we do specifically go looking for samples that will work for our music. It's not always, like, sometimes you'll just stumble upon it, but we also, like, we'll sit down, mainly Nick. Nick spends a lot of time like sifting through looking for stuff.
Yeah. For most of our samples, and Feeling All Right included, like, we're really looking for like something that can provide that like pre-drop moment, something that we can tease, something that like really opens up, and hopefully it does like some musical magic that makes the bass line sound good when it comes in. That's like the whole thing. For Feeling All Right, I think that was one that you had found, though, Ryan. What do you think inspired that in your creative
process? The guy sounded like James Brown. It wasn't James Brown, but it sounded exactly like James Brown. I'm not gonna name drop it, who it was because we didn't clear it. But but yeah, I literally made a demo of that song in 2 days to play at one of our upcoming shows. And I didn't tell Nick about it until we were walking on stage. I was like, by the way, I got a new one.
It was sick.
Surprise.
Yeah. It was dope. I was jumping up and down in joy. I was like, we made a hit. Yeah, it was sick.
Nice.
But yeah, we look for that timbre, that funky sounds, you know, like, and hopefully with a lyric in it, you know, like most of our pre-drops have like some, we want something memorable that will bring people back that really complements the bass. So.
Yeah, definitely. You know, as we kind of alluded to earlier, you have this like incredibly diverse portfolio of support, you know, whether it's Grizz, Zed's Dead, Mala, Kyle Watson, AC Slater, Destructo, even, you know, I'm just curious, you know, from you guys, how does that influence you going forward? And I think you've had a unique opportunity to kind of play a lot of different styles of shows, whether it's, you know, performing your own headlining sets at a club, you know, joining the night bass live streams, or as you mentioned, like playing Grizzmas. When you're preparing for these sets or live streams or whatever it is, like, how different is it for you depending on who you're supporting? You know, if you're doing Grizz, is it going to be a lot more funky? If it's night bass, are you going harder? Like, just tell us about that process.
Yeah, you pretty much nailed it. I mean, we opened up for the Knox a couple times, and that was an interesting experience because it's like a really pop crowd, you know, like I felt like no one was really there to hear like bass wubs necessarily. So we played like a much more funky, like fun disco-y set and still played our songs, but which did well. And then, yeah, like when we played Night Rinse in LA, it was like a sweaty, like super packed tiny club, and we just played like super aggressive shit and everybody was going crazy.
Yeah, definitely. I think being that our music kind of fits in a bunch of genres, like a bunch of subgenres, it's very malleable what we play, luckily. And we love playing like Duck Saucy stuff, so it's either going to be like disco-y kind of like upbeat vibes or like down in the dirt AC Slater vibes.
Nice.
That's anywhere on that spectrum.
Yeah. Well, one of the, you know, what I just kind of want to wrap up here with is, you know, you mentioned earlier Tipper, and it just has me, you know, cause he, again, for those who don't know, like Tipper is a pretty experimental bass music artist, and, you know, he's known for this like incredible visual experience. And you're obviously also drawing influence from these jam bands that you mentioned. I know for me, like Lettuce, you know, I'm a huge fan. I just got tickets to their show in New Jersey in July, and I'm like in Manhattan here. So we're shipping it out. But I, you know, for you guys going forward, I'm curious kind of on the live side, in a perfect world, you know, as you become bigger and start to headline your own tours and all that, what does that live set look for you? You know, do you have a vision about kind of the visual presentation, and do you ever see yourself doing anything live or like looking to collaborate with jam bands in whether it's just producing or in terms of like a live set?
You know, we used to have when we first started this, our dream was to do like a live band's implementation at some point. And I think down the line, we probably still will do that. But like you just mentioned a second ago, like we definitely want to work with jam bands in the studio. Like we definitely want to make music with people that are expert music makers and implement more of that sound as time goes on.
I would say definitely it's like you said, in an ideal world, like down the road, we would like to do something very similar to what Grammatic does.
Yeah.
And where we'll handle like the electronics, and then we'll just bring on some really amazing musicians to play on top and bring the live element, because we can't play instruments very well.
Mm-hmm.
But So that is definitely still like a dream of ours one day.
Yeah, Grammatic like is the best example. Exactly like that, I'd say.
I'd agree. I think Grammatic is actually pretty nice on the keys. I don't want to.
Well, we could always pretend,
but not us. We'll just press play.
And yeah, we have some ideas for where we'd want to go with visuals as well, but and hopefully you'll get to see some soon.
Yeah. So before we get out of here, just tell us, you know, what's coming up for you guys on the release side and the live side. You got any shows coming? Are we going to see the Sponges across the U.S. in the fall, or what's good?
Yeah, we are. We're lining up a bunch of shows. We're working on a bunch of music. And our next one is a collab we did with Grits. That's going to come out probably this summer.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome. Well, listen, I was just going to say that thank you guys for coming on. We really appreciate the time. Really looking forward to hearing that track. And hopefully I'll get to see you in New York soon. But if not, I'll come find you guys somewhere else.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we want to make it up to NY ASAP. I don't think we've played there yet.
No.
The moment that we come there, though.
I've been there since I was 3 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I love New York.
All right, we'll have to make that a special one.
Yeah.
Sure.
Cool beans. Well, thank you for having us. This is fun. Really appreciate it, man.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, hopefully we'll touch base down the line, and good luck on everything.
All right. Thank you. You too, man. Appreciate that.
All right.